You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ronald Reagan, president in the 20th century. Donald Trump, president in the 21st. And trade. Compare and contrast. What do they have in common? Right now, the word is protectionism. Question mark. I welcome two writing for Civitas Institute, Civitas Outlook, Dave Hebert, a senior research fellow at AIER, formerly a professor at Aquinas College, Troy University, and Ferris State University, and his colleague Marcus Witcher, teaching assistant professor of economic history at West Virginia University. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. Your essay is very helpful because it divides into three pieces. The first was Ronald Reagan a protectionist? This is the time of Japan Incorporated. I believe that was a Time magazine cover. I might misremember. Might have been Look. Might have been Newsweek. Japan Incorporated said to have an advantage over the U.S. We need an industrial policy. I remember pounding the table as they talked about that in Washington. So I begin with you, Dave. Was Ronald Reagan a protectionist? And if he was, what kind of protectionist? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you too, John. Thanks so much for having us tonight. So the answer to the question of whether or not Ronald Reagan was a protectionist is a remarkably simple one. The answer is no. Now, it is true that while he championed free trade, while he championed trade liberalization and global affairs writ large for the American people, he did implement some measures that at face value will look a lot like protectionism. The sine qua non would have to be the VER, the voluntary export restraint signed by Japan in the early 1980s. Now, a lot of people will look at this and hold it up as a paragon of protectionism done right. And the reality, however, is that Ronald Reagan faced a completely different choice. And once we understand that choice is between actual options and not idealized or imagined ones, we can see very clearly that Reagan was no protectionist. Reagan was facing a severely downtrodden economy with a lot of serious problems. Congress, led by the Democrats at the time, was going to implement protectionist measures against Japan, specifically an import quota. Now, Reagan had promised that he was going to veto any bill that came across his desk that had in it an import quota. And so we can already see right away that Reagan was not going to support something like that. But he also understood that if he did nothing, the problem would not go away. Now, the problem here is not Japanese cars. The problem was the protectionist demands of Congress, the state of Michigan, specifically Detroit, and the union auto workers. So their demands for protectionism were not going to go away. And that means that no protectionism was not a realistic option for Reagan. And so what he did is he found a clever workaround, a clever solution that would reduce the impetus or reduce the scope of the protectionism. And that is by encouraging Japan to take the matters into their own hands and voluntarily restrict those exports. And in doing so, he chose the least protectionist option of the options that he had available, not protectionism.
Marcus, you write, you and your colleague write, Reagan's commitment to free trade cannot be overstated. However, everything in a definition. What did he mean by free trade?
Yeah, so Ronald Reagan in his autobiography and his diaries over and over again said, I am a free trader. And by free trade, he meant that ideally, you know, you would reduce tariff rates between countries across the globe. And that ideally we would exist in a world in which we didn't have protectionist measures. any protectionist measures. I think Reagan thought that was the ideal. And when considering the situation with Japan in his autobiography and in his diaries, which he drew on very heavily for the autobiography, Reagan recounted how he remembered back to his time as an economics major in college when he read about the Smoot-Hawley tariff and how damaging the Smoot-Hawley tariff had been to the American economy and the global economy in the late 1920s and early 1930s. And he actually quoted FDR criticizing the protectionist measures that the Hoover administration had put into place that contributed to reducing global trade by two-thirds during the Great Depression. And so I think at his core, Ronald Reagan was a true believer in free trade. But as Dave rightly asserts, once he was elected president, he had to address sort of the desires of a Democratic Congress that wanted something done to protect union workers in Detroit and elsewhere. And so Reagan opted for the least protectionist option that was available to him.
Ronald Reagan was elected in November of 1980, taking office in early 1981, and we're looking at the 1980s in America following decisions made by previous presidents. I'm thinking of the Chrysler bailout by the Carter administration. And so Detroit already showing signs of what we know now to be built-in weaknesses. We're going to move then to Ver. Ver was an effort to control the Japanese superiority, appearance of superiority, because it was Japan Incorporated, so-called. Voluntary export restraint, meaning the Japanese won't ship us so many cars they promise, cross their fingers, hope to die. However, Ver, the thing itself, did it work? Did we need it? And Dave, I come to you on this. You've got some devastating numbers here. And you mentioned, you mentioned proponents of Ver because it can look a whole lot like the conversation that was momentarily underway with China, Ver. However, what do you conclude with these numbers? Was Ver necessary?
Yeah, so the example of the Ver really kind of shows exactly how protectionist measures work in the short run and in the long run. And the real issue here is that it's not about short-term pains begetting long-term gains. If anything, what we can see from a tariff or a protectionist measure is short-term gains begetting long-term pains. So with the Ver, what we did see, and this comes straight from the 1985 International Trade Commission's report, where they say that the Ver added about 5,400 jobs to the U.S. automobile employment in 1981. And by 1984, there's a case to be made that the Ver was responsible for a total of 44,000 additional jobs in domestic industry. Now, that makes sense to anyone who has studied principles of economics. We know that supply chains, that contracts, these are all pretty fixed in the very short run. And so when you prevent someone from buying something from one store, they're going to navigate naturally to a different one. And this is exactly what we saw in the early period of the Ver. People did buy more American cars, and that did create more American manufacturing jobs. But over the 1980s, as the Ver continued to exist and continued to be in force, what we saw were declines in all of these sectors. And so what we eventually found is that over the course of the 1980s and early 1990s, the big three auto firms, so at the time this would be Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, they were forced to close 42 of the 63 automotive assembly plants, which resulted in tens of thousands of job losses in the industry that the Ver itself was designed to protect. The reason for this is simple. The U.S. auto industry, much like today, frankly, was addicted to making medium to large size cars that were heavy, that were expensive, and that were less fuel efficient. Japan, by contrast, was making smaller cars that were lighter, far more fuel efficient, and as a side benefit, they were also a lot more reliable, requiring significantly fewer repairs over the course of their lifetime. So what we have is Japan creating, frankly, on paper, better vehicles than the big three in Detroit. What the Ver did is it calcified the big three into continuing their production process. And they basically neglected the opportunity to retool and reinvent themselves as a much more successful automotive industry. This only led to significant job losses in the long run and set up the eventual necessity to bail out the big three during during the 2008 financial crisis.
Marcus, I come to foreign investment, something that once upon a time was much sought after. And I read your numbers, and the opinion I take is foreign investment was always going to do fine because it was responding to the American marketplace. But it did better after Ver went away than it did during Ver. Does that connect those two events, or are they separate silos?
Dave, I'll defer to you on this one since you're the economist and we're sort of in charge of the numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, so what we saw is once the domestic auto industry and frankly the domestic manufacturing sector was freed from the shackles of the VAR, we saw far faster increases in foreign direct investment. Right. And the reason for it is simple. It made economic sense to do so. Freed with the ability to import cars and manufactured parts from all around the world, the American economy started to grow extraordinarily fast. Faster, frankly, than almost any economy on the planet. And other countries wanted to invest and get in on that action. That's where you see a lot of the increase in the American South's manufacturing capacity is post the VAR, not during the VAR. During the VAR, any increase that we saw in manufacturing output was planned in the 70s, right? This was already well established and in motion. And ironically, the reason we saw those investments were because the manufacturing sector in Japan was becoming too expensive in terms of labor, and the American workers were actually cheaper. So in an ironic twist, Japan was offshoring their manufacturing jobs to America, where our workers were actually cheaper. Now, this is intuitive to anyone who reads the history of the VAR and reads the history of all these different statistics. It makes sense. When people are free to purchase products from around the world, the economy is going to grow very quickly, and other countries are going to want to invest in America, in our case.
I'm speaking to David Hubert and Marcus Witcher about an article comparing and contrasting Ronald Reagan's understanding of what is to be done with Japan Incorporated and Mr. Trump's understanding of what is to be done with, I'll call it, China Incorporated. When we come back, at the time, then, in the 20th century, did they understand that protectionism led to higher costs for items? In other words, in a burdensome, not unlike a tax. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.